Man, what an intro. I can't, wow, that was incredible. Man, I just, it is such a privilege to be in this house today. Pastor Matt means the world to me. In fact, if it wasn't for him, he was the first ever pastor to give me a chance. I got to be one of City Light's first ever interns back in the day when it started. I actually got to intern under your worship leader, Kylan, back in the day because I thought that was what the Lord had called me towards. Little did I know that God brought me here to City Light so that I could learn about what it means to plant a church. And God used you to light a fire into my heart and my soul to step into the calling that I get to do today with planting Travelers Church. But man, can we just give a shout out to Pastor Matt and Miriam? Can we just honor them today for what they've done and what they've built? Man, this is just an incredible thing. And God has just really blessed them and blessed their family. And I know that not only have I been blessed by them, but you have too from their faithful ministry day in and day out. So Pastor Matt, thank you so much for how you've loved me. And thank you for so much for how you've loved this church family. Well, hey, here's where I want to start today. I want to tell you just a little bit about my family. You'll see a photo here on the screen behind me. That's my wife, Anna, my daughter, Autumn, my son, Oliver, and then the little baby right there who's not such a little baby anymore. His name is Enoch. From the Old Testament. They are back in Pennsylvania, holding the fort down. But man, it has just been a privilege to be a pastor out in Pittsburgh for the last few years. And it was actually one of the last places we ever thought the Lord would lead us. In fact, when we had left Alaska and we were in Florida for a short season, we were like, man, Lord, we will go anywhere you call us to go, but I have allergies, so Pennsylvania is not on the list, okay? I tried everything I could, okay? I even said maybe North Carolina because I got shots here for years, so I wouldn't be allergic to everything. But the Lord opened a door for us to go to Pennsylvania. And at first, we weren't sure what we were walking into, but the Lord used it. And through that, we're being sent out of a church to plant in Beaver, Pennsylvania. The Lord has done so much work in that journey. We weren't even sure where the Lord was going to have us. We knew that we were called to plant a church there. We just didn't know where. And so as we were praying and seeking that, the Lord just began to open door after door after door. And so I'll show you real quick. Probably the coolest door in the world is this building right here. Back when we were trying to figure out where the Lord desired us to be, we knew we were supposed to go a little bit further north, and this is an area known as the Beaver Valley. There's different areas here from Monaca to New Brighton to Beaver Falls and then to this place called Beaver. And as we were praying, Lord, where do you want us to plant your church in this area? We were talking to another church at the time, and out of nowhere, the Lord opened this door for us to meet. You can see him there a little bit down there. His name is Pastor Robbie. He was the pastor of First Christian Church for over 16 years. And unfortunately, 2 weeks before that photo was taken, they made the decision to close their doors. And they weren't sure what the Lord had in store for their church. In fact, the goal was to sell everything and give it all to missions. But God had other plans. And so the Lord actually orchestrated it where they gave us this building to plant a church launching in January. Thank you, God. And so we have a lot of obstacles ahead of us, but I've just been so thankful to have you guys in my corner because you don't realize you guys are helping us plant a church too. It's because of your generosity. It's because of your coaching. It's because of the teams you guys will send that we get to do what the Lord has put on our hearts. But man, that's kind of all that's going on in our life, and I'm excited to finally meet in that building starting in October for our first preview service. But probably the thing I'm the most excited about for today is to conclude your Proverbs series. You guys have been in this series for a few weeks now. And so if you'll turn with me in your copy to God's Word, to Proverbs chapter 4, that's where we will begin today. And the title of our sermon is this, Wisdom and Manhood. Wisdom and Manhood. And here's the first question I have for you, and that's this. What do you think of when you think of a man, okay? Just let your mind kind of ponder for a second. Don't go too far, okay? Focus in a little bit. Maybe you think of beards, okay? Maybe you think of guns. Maybe you think of big trucks, okay? I used to have a Ram 1500 with a 6-inch lift kit. I missed that truck almost every single day. It was great, terrible on gas mileage. Maybe you think of leather boots. I don't know what you think of. But if you watched any sport or TV show from 2006 to like 2016, there was this beer company called Dos Equis. There you go, Dos Equis. And it attempted to answer this question of what is a man. And it had this title, The Most Interesting Man in the World. Some of you guys know who I'm talking about, okay? And in these commercials, you saw a man who would do extraordinary things. And they had this guy who was always narrating, like freeing a bear from a bear trap. He can slam a revolving door. I don't even know how that works, but he can, okay? He's been to space. He can climb Mount Everest. Sharks have a week dedicated to him. Again, don't know how that works. If he punched you in the face, you would say, thank you, okay? Mosquitoes refuse to bite him purely out of respect, okay? Just these ridiculous tropes and be like, he is the most interesting man in the world. You know, according to the company, sales in the United States increased each year between 2006 and 2010. In fact, they tripled in Canada in 2008. So the sale of this beer were said to have increased by 22% at the time when rival companies fell by 4%. Why? Because they were not just selling beer, they were not just selling a product, they were selling the idea of greatness. They were selling the idea of something amazing. Goldsmith said in an interview that he realized how successful the campaign had been when a man came up to him in a restaurant telling Goldsmith that the man had asked his young son what he wanted to be when he grew up, and his son replied, I want to be the most interesting man in the world. See, every commercial ended with the same picture, and that is Goldsman sitting there with a beer in his hand, and he said, stay thirsty, my friends. You see, the lie they told was to convince you that not only drinking this beer would make you a man, but the things he also did would not just make you any man, but would make you the most interesting man. And listen, I've known a lot of men who have been known to drink quite a bit of beer, okay? And I'm telling you, there isn't much interesting things that happens when that takes place, okay? Just being completely honest with you. You end up looking more like a fool than interesting. Maybe that is interesting. But if you look at their definition of a man, it fit into pretty much four categories. It was how many women that he can be with, how much money he has, how many adventures he can go on, and how much respect he commands. And I even remember seeing this as a kid and being like, man, I want to be the most interesting man in the world. But these categories have not really changed today. But the truth of the matter is, the lie is still here in our society. And maybe you believe it here today. You have been sold a lie, and you've been sold a counterfeit version of the man God has called you to be. And so I want you to think about that as we jump into it. But here's the biblical definition that I want to submit to you today of what is a man. Number one, a man is biological, okay? XY chromosomes. Can't get out of that. That's what it is. Second, spiritually, a true man is a follower of Jesus submitted to the lordship of Christ. You are not a real man until you have submitted your life to Jesus, because if you can't submit to Jesus, then you cannot submit to yourself. And then lastly is functionally is a leader. Men lead the way. There is no excuse to not lead yourself, to not lead your family, and to not lead in your church. So what I want to call you up to today is exactly what Jesus has made you for, to be a man who looks like Jesus. I love what 1 Corinthians 16, 13, 4 says, and it says this, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, and let all that you do be done in love. You see, a man is a leader. He does not waver from the calling and the task that is put in front of him. A man is a believer. He is strong and he loves. So our big idea today is this. A real man looks like Jesus. A real man looks like Jesus. All of these qualities and more are found in King Jesus. A biblical definition of a man, look at Jesus himself. Jesus is what it means to lead yourself. He is what it means to lead others, to sacrifice, to have courage. And the most interesting man in the world is not a man with a white beard sitting holding a beer can. No, it is King Jesus is the most interesting man in the world. But Jesus is not just a gentle and lowly man full of grace. He is also a warrior who will bring justice on this world. As we're jumping around in the book of Proverbs today and seeing what it means to be a man, we'll start here in chapter 4. And as you're there, let me go ahead and open us up in prayer. Father, as we talk about this subject today, the topic of biblical manhood from the perspective of Proverbs, Father, I just pray that in this house today, you would encourage every man above it all to follow you. Lord, I pray for those who are in this house today who know men who need to know you, that they would be emboldened to preach your name to them, Lord, and that we may see them come to know you. Father, we love you. It's in your name. Amen. All right, so hey, the first point that I want you to write down this morning is this. A man of God leads himself before anyone else. A man of God leads himself before anyone else. Proverbs 4, 23 through 27 says this, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left, and turn your foot away from evil. To be a man of God, the first thing you must do is learn to lead yourself. Proverbs 4 is probably one of my favorite chapters on this topic because it is a father writing to his son. That's how we see actually the first 11 chapters in the book of Proverbs. It is a father writing to his son. What's interesting is this thing of father writing to son is used over 30 times in the book of Proverbs. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to get through all 30 of them. We're just going to be going through a couple of places. But here's the beautiful thing. It is practical, it is loving, and it cuts straight to the heart. I actually love the way the NIV translates verse 23. It says this, above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. Everything you do flows from your heart. The first step to becoming a man is to lead yourself. And leading yourself means to guard the heart that is within you. Do you know what Solomon connects directly to your heart? We can see it right here in the text. He directs first your speech. Your words are a direct influence or are a direct outflow of what is in your heart. Your eyes. Where your eyes go are a direct outflow of where your heart is. Your direction. Everywhere you walk in life, your ambitions, your goals is a direct flow from your heart. Are you guarding your heart? Because you cannot lead yourself if you are not first guarding your heart. Because the enemy wants to take your heart and he wants to tell you a lie. And he wants to make you go everywhere other than the throne room of God. And so are you guarding your heart against the attacks of this culture, against the attacks of the enemy? Are you pursuing Jesus to look like him each and every single day? Are you guarding what you let into your mind? Do you take every thought captive? 2 Corinthians 10:5, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Next, do you have control over yourself? Proverbs 25, 28, a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. No matter how strong the walls look from the outside, a man who cannot lead himself is defenseless. He is weak. To be a man of God, it starts with you first. Can you lead yourself? And are you up for the challenge to begin to do so today? Leading yourself is not just getting up in the morning and going to work. It is not just being prudent in your finances. It is not just attending church every once in a while on a Sunday. No, leading yourself means God has authority over every single area of your life. And we play this game where we like to have our life as kind of a buffet, okay? We go up, we have all these things on our plate. And when God says he wants your whole plate, you kind of give him some portions over here and you give him some portions over there. And as soon as God wants some of this, you say, no, you can have everything else but that. Guess what? You haven't surrendered to God if you're not willing to give him everything. Will you surrender fully to Jesus today and let him lead you? Because you cannot lead yourself until you first submit to the Father. Perhaps there's hidden sin in your life that you have allowed to rule you. A pastor that I admire talked about sin kind of like this. He talked about, man, if you were at a zoo and you had a baby lion, man, they're so cute, man. You ever seen a picture of one of those things? Like, you can hold them. They're really cute, okay? Maybe you want to hold a baby lion. You start playing with it, right? Start playing with sin. And the next thing you know, that lion kind of grows up a little bit. It still kind of depends on you, so you feed it. It pretends to love you and be around you. So it's like a teenager now, and it's a little bit scary. He's gotten stronger, but don't worry. I've been with it for so long. It's never going to hurt me. And then finally, that lion grows into adulthood, and it matures. And instead of looking at you as something that it needs to survive, it looks at you as something it needs to eat. And that's what sin does in our life. I'm speaking to everybody in this room, but specifically men in the room today. Men, if there is sin in your life that you are keeping hidden, bring it to the light. Because that sin that you have been playing with, that sin that you have kept behind closed doors, that sin is devouring you and it is waiting to destroy you. Will you eliminate the sin from your life? Will you bring it into the light? And will you confess it to the Lord? Have you allowed the enemy to set up a base camp in your heart? And here's the thing, God can have this, but God can't have this. We can't have that language in our life. Our big idea was this: a real man looks like Jesus. So how did Jesus lead himself? Let's look at this. First, we look at Jesus. He mastered temptation. Matthew chapter 4, if you know that story, after fasting for 40 days, what do we see happen? The devil comes, and he attempts to tempt him. He's like, and he starts whispering lies. And what Jesus does is he resists the sin, and he actually repeats scripture back to the devil, calling him a liar. The first step that Jesus did when he mastered temptation was he resisted the enemy, and he anchored his heart in the word. That's the picture that he's given for you today. Has temptation mastered you, or will you master temptation? That's where it first begins. Next, Jesus submitted his will to the Father. You know this picture in the garden in Luke chapter 22, verse 42. It says this: Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus submitted, even if it meant losing his life, which he gladly gave for you and I today. Not my will, but yours be done. Man, how much would change in our life if we started every morning with that same prayer? Lord, not my will, but yours be done. You will be either be mastered by the world. A man of God leads himself, and you will either be mastered by the world or you will master yourself and submit yourself to God. And here's the best part. You don't do this alone. God doesn't just say, figure this out. No, he has sent the Holy Spirit to live within you, to help guide you, to help mold you, to help shape you, and help make you into the image of God today. But will you first submit to the God? Our second point this morning is this: a man of God loves his family with all his heart. We're going to look at this at two directions primarily. We're going to look at it through the lens of marriage, and we're going to look at it at the lens of children. But for those in this room that are not married, this is still an important for you to hear, because you must begin, if you feel called to be married someday or desire that, to prepare now, not on the eve of your wedding day. And there's also some wisdom here that is just for anyone called to singleness as well. But before we do, it isn't lost on me that there are also people in this room who have had bad experiences with fathers. I'm sorry. And God sees you, and God knows that, and he wants to help make you whole. He wants to help heal you today. And some of you are like, I don't know how to be a good father because my father wasn't a good father. Here's what I want you to know. Jesus wants to meet you in every void and every hole in your life. He wants to help make you into the man that you have been called to be. He will never leave you, and he will forever love you. There is no condition to his love for you today. And he wants you to follow in his steps, even if it was never modeled for you on this earth. So please take comfort in that today. So let's follow him together. First, let's talk about marriage. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. As a husband, your job is to love your wife like Christ loved the church and he died for it, okay? So the bar is pretty high, but if that's the level that you have to live up to, then that's what you have to focus on. This means your calling to die is not just physical, okay? It's also metaphorical as well. Listen, and I love my wife so much. She is the greatest gift the Lord has ever given me. She has given me three beautiful babies, but she is also my best friend. She is the person I trust the most in this world. But here's what's interesting. It's easy to say, I love my wife so much, but do I live like that's true? Do I put her first in all things? Do I sacrifice for her? You see, if I love my wife, then I die to my preferences. If I love my wife, then I give myself up for her. If I love my wife, then I care for her soul. I care for where she is with Jesus. If I love my wife, then I lead her. And if I love my wife, then I pray for her. And we could just keep going down this list of things, but you get the picture. Man, suddenly things get harder because you bear the responsibility of not only leading yourself, but leading another soul. And that's why we started with a man of God first leads himself, because you cannot lead someone else to a place that you have not gone. If you have not gone into that relationship with Jesus, if you do not have that personal relationship with him, how in the world are you going to lead someone else into that? Lead yourself first, so you can lead her. And man, enjoy your relationship with your wife. Enjoy her. Enjoy spending time with her. Enjoy caring for her, building a friendship and relationship with her. Proverbs 5:18-19, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. A lovely deer, a graceful doe, let her breast fill you with all times with delight, be intoxicated always in her love. Talk about verses we never read in Sunday school, okay? A little bit awkward, never talked about that. But there's a bigger picture here. Enjoy your wife and love her. Love her. Right before verse 18, it's interesting, there's a warning. It says, only focus on your own water. Only focus on your own water. And the analogy is that the temptation will be to look for satisfaction and enjoyment in places outside of your marriage. But the author has made it very clear, and he has warned the exact opposite. Looking outside will not only destroy your marriage, but it will destroy you. Look only at your wife. Look at her. Enjoy her. Love her and lead her and enjoy your time with her. And if you do not enjoy spending your time with your wife, you pretty much have two options. You can take the easy way and you can complain to your friends and you can be frustrated and you can talk to your golf buddies about how you never wished you married her, okay? You can do all those stupid, lazy things. Or you can do the hard work. You can do the hard thing and you can fix it. You can date your wife. You can spend time with her. You can ask her, what can I do to be a better man and a better husband for you? Are you willing to do the hard thing to save something that God has designed and instituted for you? So date her, cherish her, be intentional with her. Love her like Christ has given himself up for you today. Proverbs 31:10 says this, an excellent wife who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. She is more precious than anything on this world. Love her well as Christ has loved you. Second thing I want to talk about is parenting. Proverbs 22:6 says this, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. A man of God has been called to train and equip his children. As a father, your very first mission field outside of leading yourself is leading your kids. Seriously, leading your children. There's an old saying that if you want to know the fruit of a man's ministry, look at his family. Now, that's not a perfect illustration because I know great men of God who've tried very hard and done everything they could. But the basic principle we see here still applies. Here's the reality. Your children will be discipled either by you or they will be discipled by the culture of this world that is in front of them. And I'm telling you, one wants to disciple them into the gates of hell and the other one wants to disciple them into the presence of heaven. And you are the person standing there getting to choose who disciples your kids. Will you disciple your family? When I was a youth pastor for a long time, I just remember sitting with parents of kids who were seniors in high school at the time. And I remember one moment in particular, he just sat down in my office chair and he just started weeping uncontrollably. Listen, I was a 19-year-old youth pastor. I did not know really what to do in that moment, so I got my lead pastor to help me out. But I just remember sitting there and listening to him and just hearing his story, and he was just heartbroken because none of his children followed Jesus. One by one, he goes, I tried to do everything I could. I brought him to church every Sunday. I tried to pour into him. I tried to pray with him. And what we began to uncover as we got further down is that he had never made that first decision to lead himself. And so while he was trying to point his kids to Jesus, in his words and his actions, he had lived the exact opposite way. So his kids saw, instead of a man of God, they saw a hypocrite. Your actions matter. The way you live matters. There's an old saying that preach the gospel and if needed, use words. And I actually hate that quote because you should use the words to preach the gospel. But I think the principle can still apply. Do your kids see Jesus in the way you live? Or do they only see it on Sundays when you talk to your friends from church? So I just want to encourage you today, fathers, be spiritual leaders in your home. Not just by your words, but by your actions. And here's the best part. You don't have to be a biological father to be a father to someone. What I love is that picture of Paul who calls Timothy his son because he is his spiritual father. There are men in this room today who maybe have never had children, but I can tell you there are other men in this room today who are younger than you who have never had a good father. You have the opportunity to step in and disciple someone, to make a difference in their life. Will you step up and change someone's life? There's a statistic that came out from the SBC convention a few years ago about the percentage of families following Jesus after a person was saved. The first one was this, when kids come to know Jesus in an unsaved family, first, 3.5% of the family will follow in that relationship with Jesus. When mom comes to know Christ first, 17% of families will follow. And this is the statistic right here. It just blew my mind. When dad comes to Christ first, 93% of families will follow. Man, your influence matters. Fathers, if you want to see your children follow Jesus, it first begins with you. And I'm going to shout out my dad real quick when I say this. Man, my dad not only modeled Jesus by the way he lived his life, but he also modeled it by his actions. And what he doesn't know is, like, I was a really bad kid, so I stayed up to like 6 in the morning playing video games without him realizing it, okay? All right, I snuck in the bonus room. Sorry about that. Probably should not have said that out loud today. But I always knew I was in big trouble if what I heard was my dad walk into the kitchen table, turn on the coffee machine, and you hear this zip, zip. Okay, that was a really bad zip, okay? But you get the picture. Ask him about it. He'll unzip his Bible for you later. Every single morning, without fail, my father modeled what it meant to be in the Word of God. And because of that modeling, I now get to do the same with my children. And so thank you for what you've done, not only for me, but for my family. I love you, man. Really appreciate you. All right. Told myself I wasn't going to do that. Ooh, this is great. All right. Not only your words, but your habits matter. Do your habits point people to Jesus, man? Do they point your kids to knowing Jesus? Or do they actually point them towards the world? And do they point them to not knowing who their Creator is? Because the habits you build today will influence the generations that come. Check this out. Proverbs 17:6. Grandchildren are the crown of the aged, and the glory of children is their fathers. And some of you are like, man, I just had my first kid, or I just got married. I'm not even ready to talk about grandkids. Okay, that's fine. But someday you will. Your children today, though, are your glory. Fathers, your legacy is not measured by how much money you have in your Roth. It is not measured by how much money you have in your 401k or set aside in retirement. It is not looked at in what you have in real estate. It is not measured by what's in your bank account, how far you went in your career. No, it is measured by your children. They are your ultimate investment. And for the men in this room who've never had children, I just talked about this, but just like Paul was to Timothy, you can step up to the plate for the fatherless in this room. For the college students in the house, you can step up today and you can also disciple someone else. Will you lead them? Will you spiritually be a father figure to the broken? You see, a biblical man loves and sacrifices for his family just as Christ gave it all for us. Jesus died for you. He shed his blood for you. He has offered you the free gift of eternal life because he loves you. Will you display the love of Jesus today? Our last point is this. A man of God serves the Lord with all he does. A man of God serves the Lord with all he does. I love Proverbs 16:3 just to start us out. Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. You see, your work, your hobbies, your activities should all point to the one and only. They should all point to King Jesus. And this doesn't mean that everything you do revolves around sitting around a table and reading God's word and humming hymns, but it does mean that everything you do is in fact an act of worship. The way you file that report is an act of worship. The way you talk to your coworker about your boss is, by the way, an act of worship. Whatever you do is worship. So are you bringing glory to God in all of those things? Are you serving God by all you do? Your first step is to commit your work to God. And if you make that commitment today, the Lord will establish your plans and he will bless you. But it begins first with that heart posture. Are you consuming or are you contributing? And I want to talk about this, man, first within the context of the church. When you attend church on Sundays, are you consuming or are you contributing here in this house? I'll be honest with you, I have some great men of God on my core team for this church plant. God is doing so many great things. They're all in, but there's not a single day that on my list, I literally have pray for men, okay? It's like I am praying that God would bring us more men to help lead this movement here in Beaver County. And the men I have are all in, but I need men like you to step up and help me plant this church. And I know Matt needs men like you who are willing to step up and serve here in the local body. And here's the best part. Not only do you help the church, and not only do you serve God, serving the Lord will change your life more than it will do anything else. So are you willing to step up and serve and be a part of the mission today? I love what 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11 says. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified. Through Jesus Christ, to him belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You have been gifted to not only serve, but you have been gifted to shake the gates of hell so that the enemy will not prevail. You have been called by the Lord to do the work of the ministry. Will you use your gifts to further the completion of the Great Commission? Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your path. Here's the key. God has a plan for you and he is ready to use you, but will you step into the calling he has in front of you? Will you serve King Jesus with the gifting in the way he has designed you, just as he has served you today? Back to our big idea as we kind of wrap things up here. It's this: a real man looks like Jesus. Do not let culture deceive you into becoming something that you were never meant to be. Instead, look to King Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, the greatest model of what it means to be a man. Will you be a man of God and step up to the plate today? Will you lead yourself? Second, will you lead your family? And third, will you serve your king? See, there's three types of men in this room today. There are men in this room, you are just killing it, man. You're doing a great job. You're a great dad. You're a great husband, man. I just want to encourage you. Thank you for doing that because it's really not easy. Thank you for working hard. Second, though, is those who are stagnant. You are ready to step up to the plate, and you've been in this rut for a long time. Are you willing to, as you leave these chairs today, step up and be the man that God has called you to be? It's not going to be an easy road, but the best part is there are other men in this house who are ready to walk with you along in that road too and help you get there. But lastly is the man who needs to surrender. You have yet to surrender your life to Jesus. He is not your Lord and Savior. Today is the day. I love what Pastor Joby Martin down at 1122 wrote in his book, Stand Firm and Act Like Men. He wrote this: men, to stand up and act like men, you must first bow down and surrender to Jesus. That is where it starts. Recognizing that we have all sinned against a holy God, and there is nothing that we can do to get us back to him. The only thing we make it back to the Father, or the only way we make it back to the Father, is through the grace of Jesus' blood poured out for us. Are you willing to give your life to Jesus today? Are you willing to let him take away your sins, just like my son prayed for the first time yesterday morning? That was a huge moment for me as a dad, see my son give his life to Jesus. The greatest joy of my life. Will you make that decision today so your children can follow? And let us do what Paul challenges us to do in 1 Corinthians 16, 13 through 14. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, and let all that you do be done in love. During this last song, if the Holy Spirit is working on your heart and you need to make a commitment to Jesus, come forward and pray, and some of our prayer leaders will be up here in the front. I'll be right over there. Would love to personally pray with you. But this isn't just for the men. Ladies in the room, man, if there's, maybe it's your father, maybe it's your husband, maybe it's your fiance, boyfriend, whatever that is, or the man you haven't met yet, if you want to come forward and pray for that person as well, I know they would love to pray for you. Let me pray for us, and let's continue in worship. Father, we just ask that as we have listened to your word today, Lord, help the men in this room to desire to step up and stand firm and be just like you. Father, we just ask that you would encourage the families. You would encourage the men who are doing just a great job. But you would also encourage those who are not yet stepping into that season, that today would be the day that they step in to not only leading themselves, but leading their families as well. Lord, we love you. It's in your name. Amen.